terrorists declare war on the United States.
Military officials here at the Pentagon are confirming that seven are dead. At
least armored vehicle stands guard.
Downtown New York in chaos.
The 7.0 quake was centered roughly 10 miles from the capital city.
We want the public to feel safe.
Thousands likely dead.
The world seems so unstable, so insecure. Everything is changing way too fast. But there are some things that are steadfast. Things that never change. God and His Word. Join Pastor Randy Reams as he shares truths from God's unchanging Word.
Lincoln Barnett, The Universe and Dr. Einstein's, the name of the book, published in 1949, quotes Einstein saying this: "We can't feel our motion through space, nor has any experiment ever proved that the Earth is actually in motion." That's Einstein. He's smarter than me when it comes to this stuff. Now, his relativity theories bring all kinds of things into question, but anybody know who Stephen Hawking is? Yeah, the premier astronomer, physicist in our time. In The Grand Design in 2010, he goes on to explain that either model, heliocentric or geocentric, can explain all the phenomena. I don't know about you, but he also wrote The God Delusion. He's a proclaimed atheist that speaks against us. As a matter of fact, he says we're deluded. But he himself says it can actually, either one deals with it. Matter of fact, the Coriolis effect and others are dealt better under a heliocentric model. And his co-author, George Ellis, who co-authored with him The Large-Scale Structure of Time-Space, 1973. It sounds like a good read, doesn't it? Okay. "I can construct you a spherical, systematic universe with Earth at its center, and you cannot disprove it based on the observations." So I want you to know, I'm not making this up. There's brilliant people, says either model works. Okay, Nobel Prize winner Steven Weinberg, who won the Nobel Prize in Physics in 1979, University of Texas, Austin, basically says the same thing, and he insinuates when he reads Newton's writing, in particular Proposition 43, that Newton leaned towards a geocentric model. And there was a guy named George Biddle who done an experiment, and I don't take time to explain the experiment, but it's basically filling a telescope with water to slow down light, and then he can tell which is moving, the Earth, and guess what he comes up with? The Earth ain't moving. That's what he comes with. But it's called Biddle's failure because it failed to prove the assumption. Here recently, Blake Temple, he's from UC Davis, and Joel Smoller from the University of Michigan, okay, were originally published in a true scientific journal, Proceedings of the National Academy of Sciences. The article is retold in Popular Science. It's retold again in Seed Magazine, okay, and there's a long name for this, okay, that, wait a minute, what we see is this shockwave mathematically that they call the Big Bang in the Africa, comes from the Earth. We're the center of that shockwave. And here's what the article in Seed Magazine says. "Perhaps the largest objection voiced is that this model would require the Earth to be at the center of the universe. In other words, it would violate the Copernican principle that states that the Earth does not have a special place or a place of favor." The problem is you also get rid of dark energy. You don't need dark energy in a geocentric model. If you don't know what dark energy is, matter of fact, let me see. I actually have it in here. Yeah. In that same article, okay, and I think we're still quoting those same guys. Anyway, yeah. Smoller and Temple already acknowledge this issue. If you want to preserve Copernican principle and explain the anomalous accelerations, not going into that, you have to use dark matter. But Smoller goes on to say, but it, dark matter, is not a law of physics. It's just a simplifier. It's just something you put in the equation to make it work. 2 + 5, we would say equals 7, right? But what if we have an equal sign over here, it's 9? I have to add something to that equation to make it equal 9, right? Dark matter is something they basically plug into it, and they tested on the super collider over in Europe, and they're not finding dark matter anywhere. This is what this guy named Wood, Michael Wood, he's a cosmologist at the University of Pittsburgh, says about these guys' recent math. Violations of the Copernican principle make us cosmologists uneasy. It is very philosophically disconcerting. It is not very satisfying. Notice this. It's the philosophy that's the problem, not the science. Okay? I have got, if you are interested, and I actually downloaded something, these are all the math that goes with it, if you're interested, I can give them to you. Have fun. Philip Hughes of astrologists at the University of Michigan says that such a view presents, I quote, presents a radical philosophical shift. In other words, if there is no God and the earth isn't important and it has no significance, we have this philosophical view, and that's so we take the one model. But we don't like that. We don't want to shift to what it takes to accept the geocentric model. And if y'all are interested sometime, I can have Bill come on a Wednesday night, and he'll talk to you about all the scientific evidence. Okay? And it makes my brain hurt, because that's not my area of expertise. So if you have a geocentric model, all he had to do is stop the universe, if you will, most in this geocentric model, the planets revolve around the sun, and then that whole thing revolves around the earth in that sense. So the stopping of the moon and the other things is all part of one process. Now, you still have to deal with the ramifications of that, okay? So if I had a bucket of paint, and I had a drill, and I put a ball on the end, and I put the bucket of paint and start the drill, everything starts turning, right? Right? But you get this spiral effect. The stuff out here is dragging a little bit behind where the ball is. It's not running faster. It's running slower. In a heliocentric model, it's the Earth turning that creates friction that causes our atmosphere to turn. That's the general idea. Well, if that's the case, the outer atmosphere would be moving slower, not faster. And that's a relative. You have to measure that from a relative place. But actually, the outer universe is moving faster. So there are those who argue it's the out here it's moving. So there's greater friction out here than there is down here. They argue these various reasons. And I'm not trying to convince you of one or the other. I'm just saying in either case, one, he stops the universe. The other one, he stops the earth and the moon. The ramifications of that and the laws of physics and so on are still the same. As much as when Jesus raises from the dead or raises Lazarus from the dead, he's got to put the laws of physics, the laws of nature, flip them around and turn them upside down to get that to work. I have no problem with him doing that now. I don't go, well, if he really stopped it, all these other things would go wrong. Well, I think he's bigger than that. Nothing's too hard for God. Read Jeremiah chapter 32. Okay? Job tells me he commands the sun and it rises not. God can say, don't come up, and it isn't. But he made us a promise. As long as the earth remains, there will be seed time and harvest. So he promises he's not going to do that as long as time remains. We ain't got time to break that down. Okay? And we know, in Hezekiah, the sun actually does what? Something moves backwards, right? The clock moves backwards in Hezekiah, and we'll get to that. Okay? The question is this, and I put it this way. Are you a big godder or a little godder? Is your God big enough to do it? Or your God not big enough to do it? See, many people read this and say, wait a minute, I can't see this would go wrong and that. Wait a minute. He created the laws of physics. He created time, space, and what limited understanding. He's big enough to do that. Does he do it all the time? No, thus the term miracle. When you go online, you can find this, okay? There's no God because Glenn prayed and he wasn't healed. Joe prayed and he wasn't healed. Mary prayed, there's no God. I understand that. But a miracle by definition or by understanding implies rarity. It doesn't happen every day because breathing, I do that every day, so we don't call that a miracle, even though I would suggest it is, but we call things like childbirth the miracle of birth. Why do we call it that? I just throw something out there for you just to twist your brain a little bit. Planned Parenthood who kills unborn babies does counseling for people who have miscarriages. For the loss. Doesn't that make sense? It's not alive, then why are you counseling me when I lost it by accident? But it's not live when you take it on purpose. And then I just pay protesters in the streets, 15, how many of you have read that? Planned Parent subsidies paying some of these protesters to protest in the streets. That's your tax money, by the way. That's politics, okay? Are you a big God or a little God? I see too many times we look at circumstances and say it isn't going to change, okay? I think there's probably some people are looking at the elections going, must be big God, because they're all shocked that God could actually be in charge. I'm not saying that Trump's a better person or something than somebody else, but I know this, God is in charge. If he has to make the other cities come out to you, they thought it was their idea. Wait a minute, these Gibeonites in Israel get together, we're in trouble. We need to go out and, oh, you go right ahead. Jump head first right into God's plan. It's usually quite painful when you're on the opposite side of him. Then you have these five kings, by the way, flee to caves. And I think I have a picture of that. Oh, no, there's a sun thing. That was a quote I made, and I didn't. There you go. Okay? This is in the same area where David fled to a cave. Remember when Saul was hiding and in the caves there in Elam? This is the same general area. Lots of caves there. So is this the specific cave? They don't know. But it's close to the cities. And over later, in the first century and so on, they actually dig these out and make them into cisterns. But there's caves all over this area. So the idea that they fled to a cave is not foreign to the geography of the place. These five kings run to a cave, and Joshua caps the top of it, or caps the cover, a hole. It would be easy if it's at the top. And pins these guys in. How many people claustrophobic? Yeah, me too. I wouldn't like that. I don't care, big cave, little cave. Pins these guys in. Well, he goes to pursue the rest of the people. In that long day, some people will argue whether it was a full day and how they define day, because day and night is a 12-hour. But anyway, he holds that up for a period of time. And then after they get all the people that they can, some flee, and it'll tell you which ones flee. And we do find the Amorites later. He goes back to get these kings out. In verse 24, I'll leave that up there and tell me if anybody gets this. And when they brought these kings out to Joshua, Joshua called for all the men of Israel and said to the chiefs of the men of war who had gone with him, come near and put your feet on the necks of these kings. What do you see there? Their God with their foot on the neck of a goat. You know what God was telling these kings? How does it feel to be a goat? Not a sheep, a goat. Now, I'm sure that's just circumstantial. I'm sure it's just accidental. But you got to understand, God of heaven, the Almighty God, the God of our scripture, will confront all gods. Even if they're not real, Paul talks about this, just statues of wood and stone. But God will, and he will confront your gods. He just will. But at the same time, when I read this story, you hear me what I said to the kids. Wait a minute, I might have a broken back and now a hip. Stop me, I dare you. Because if God has to extend the daylight to get so I can accomplish that which he's called me to do, he'll stop daylight. No, he hasn't called me to do that. But I know this, when I go to Southeast Asia, I don't have pain in Southeast Asia. Is it geography? No. When God calls me to do that, at that time, he takes care of it and carries me through it. If God's called you to get through that marriage, that difficulty, if God's called you to stay pure as a young person, if God, guess what? You can't make the sun stand still. God can. I didn't say you are the one that has to do it. God provides a way to get it done. And I'm going to be honest, most of the time, that's on the inside of us. Patience, perseverance, grace, things that we should give others. It's typically not an outward circumstances to the thing God calls us to, because you can be broke and do what God calls you. You don't necessarily need money to do that. I want you to understand that God will do in you what is needed. You may not even like it. Say what? Yeah, just read the story of Jeremiah. Okay? He prophesies. Guess what? Everybody gets mad. You know, he starts speaking the word of God and everybody gets upset. What an idea. That doesn't happen today. Okay? But he goes on to say, he goes on in Jeremiah to basically say this: I don't want to do this, but I can't help it. I'd like to stop preaching, but I can't help it. When you start moving in that thing, God will take away your excuses. Well, it's dark now. I can't pursue them. Oh, yeah, I'll solve that problem. Well, Jesus, if you'd only have been here, but he's dead now. You see? God is big enough to make whatever he needs to do to get... Let me put it another way. He will complete what he started in you. And so, and then if you're getting older, more gray hair, we look back when we had energy, right? Time, your body didn't ache, whatever. And you thought God said, I want you to go to Africa. I'll use that for an example. But time has come and went. And you're going, I can't do that now. The sun is going down on my years. But here's older folks, this is what I get from you all the time. Well, I can't learn new things. I don't have the ability to. You know how old Joshua is here? 82 to 84. Wow. You call me to lead an army in my 80s? When do they throw you out of the military? They don't let you get even close. But God will give you what you need. It doesn't matter if they tell you they got to replace your hip or not. You can still preach. The difference is, notice once Joshua had had the conversation with God, whatever that was like, what he learned this lesson, just talk to God first. Once he did that, in front of everybody, sun, I said stop. Moon, I said stop. It was being with God and in the presence of God and seeking God that gives him the strength. It's the word faith, but you know how the word of faith people take it. Now we can all go out and tell the sun to stand still, you know, if you just have enough faith. No. It's having a conversation with God, doing what God's called you to do the way he told you to do it, and you'll be surprised what God will do. Here's the question. What has God called you to do? Boy, do I get blank stares when I ask that question. First of all, make it broad. God told me to go in and conquer the land. When he first said that, he didn't say in what order. He didn't say, and we're finding different methods as we go. AI sneak around behind them. Jericho march around, the walls fall down. These guys march by night. So the method's not always the same. You have to ask yourself, if you're not seeing God do mighty things in your life, it's probably because you're not pursuing purpose. Now, purpose doesn't come to you. You pursue it. Joshua didn't sit on the other side of the Jordan and go, okay, well, if the door opens, I guess I'll go. That's most of us. It's pursuing it. How hard it is to get somebody who says, no, this is my passion. This is my heart. This is where I ache. This is what God's called me to. I'm going to move. I don't know how it works. I don't know how it's going to happen, but I'm going to move in that. And I'll tell you, I've been around long enough, and a lot of you have too. When people start doing that, guess what? What we call miracles happen in their life. I'm not saying the dead are raised, but doors open, finances come, strength comes, wisdom comes, ability comes. All right? Or God just changes the recipients of what he's called you to do, and you're still dumb, and you still don't have it, but some reason they're getting it. But you got to be active in that pursuit. You will never be able to explain to that atheist uncle at Thanksgiving, okay, about God is real, that God can change his life, unless you study that. What do you say to an atheist? Yeah, that don't go over well. You're just wrong. The Bible says you're a fool. Yeah, that opens the conversation up. The homeless, the whatever it is, your own children. How many of you mamas homeschool? How many of you felt like you were absolutely equipped when you started? No, you went and got yourself equipped to do that. When you first began your field, husband, father, whoever you are, and you that field, you prepared. It's the same in the true as in the kingdom. You have to prepare for the thing God called you to do. Remember, way back here, they're now in the Exodus. Joshua's a slave like everybody else. And Moses says, hey, there are some people over here. We need to attack them. Josh, you're in charge. Excuse me. I've been a slave all my life. I mean, they never let me pick up a weapon in Egypt. And you want me to what? That's right, God was preparing him. Ask yourself this. In your life, even in your mistakes, in the pain and the difficulties caused by your own ignorance or stupidity or rebellion or whatever, What was God preparing you for? Yeah, but that was painful. That I know it was painful. But God was preparing you to fulfill his purpose. What? I can't answer that question. Even when you faltered and you operated in flesh, you operated in your own intelligence, you didn't seek God, what was he preparing you for? I can't answer that question. I just know this. Start walking in it and see what happens. Watch the people around you. Unbelievers going, man, what is going on in your life? How come this is? When you start walking in the things of God, no, I don't necessarily mean your son's going to stand still up in the sky for you. But I want you to, people that are pursuing God see God everywhere. People who aren't don't. How come you see miracles? Oh God, why do I see God do this for you all the time? Because I'm busy doing things for God. I don't really do them for God. He does them through me. But you understand what I mean. So God's there responding, preparing me for that process. If you're not seeing God move in your life, ask yourself this question. What am I doing? Why does he need to move if you're not? If you're sitting on the recliner, there's no reason to set your son still. You'll go to nap there anyway. I really believe God's calling our church into a season of, I'll say, very proactive. That he's in one of those seasons where he's moving us more again to our purpose. I can't be the one preparing alone, or the elders, because you get drug along with the mess. When Joshua, me for example, and I don't pray, guess who kids die at AI? Yours. If I'm not preparing, you've got to prepare, because God's got something ahead for us. And I think there's two sides of that. And I'll use the natural. I believe God speaks in the natural, and we see it in our society. What happened in the recent elections, some don't like. Why? Because they get a sense from this fellow, right or wrong, I'm not supporting, that he's going somewhere. He's going to actually, they're protesting before he made one policy. Before he appointed one cabinet member. Before. Why? Because this guy seems like somebody who's going to act in something. So there's going to be progression. And I don't like where I think it might go. That's true in every church. Right now, we're not doing this, but I, for example, we're starting a capital campaign to raise $2 million for a building. Some of you will go, yeah, and some of you go, oh, God, no. And I might be one of them because I don't like those campaigns. But when God's moving, I don't, look around the room, people. How many empty seats we have? What's God going to do next? Are you prepared for what God? Are you ready for what God's going to do? That's not going to happen where you go home and watch NASCAR, which I like NASCAR. You go home and watch a football game, which I will do, right? But you got to be preparing yourself. Here's how. First, talk to God. God, I don't know what you have going. I don't know what's up. I'm just going to spend some time talking with you. I'm going to absorb whatever I can. I'm going to listen to messages. I'm going to do whatever because I'm going to get ready for what you want to do. It is horrible to be the person left behind. Oh, come on. You've been there. Worship. Everybody's touched by worship and you're there and they're like a dry bone. You don't want to, and here, I know this. Forgive me and I'll be done. Those who get left behind are the complainers. Not that they are to begin with, but when they feel the disconnect of where God's moving in a body of Christ, and they feel that disconnect, they start complaining about what God is doing. Nobody likes a complainer. Maybe that's why the election went the way it was. Anyway, but I want you to understand, God's up, and when I read this, I say, God, you're up to something. Am I ready? Am I ready if you say, tell the sun to stand still? I'm not too sure about that. Are you ready? Oh, love this. I hate this. What if God says go to two services? We talked about it at elders meeting this last week. Two serves? I hate two services. You get volunteer burnout. You get two separate groups of churches. You never get to see the other people. And then in the first service, you know, got to start early so everybody's half asleep. I don't like it. But wait a minute, God. What if you say that's the thing I'm supposed to do? What if he says, you've marched all night. I'm going to keep the sun still for you. I'm tired, old Bill. Are you ready? Are you ready to receive what God wants to do without saying, but I marched all night? I don't say this for my benefit. I say it because it is awesome to be involved in what God's doing. And you get to see the great things of God when you're involved in it. Are you ready?
Are you ready to see the sun stand still even if you marched all night?
How many of you ever been in what you might call revival, where God really awakens the church? You know how long church services last in those things? Oh, gee, I've been there. Oh, yeah, 4-hour services. Oh, I don't know if I'm not ready for it, God. I'm not saying we're doing that. I want you to understand we get excited about it, but it's also uncomfortable. It just is. Okay, let's stand. In your personal life, I want you to recognize this. No matter how difficult it's been, God's bigger and can overcome it. We're seeing Joshua get the picture, and there's no more Ai. We're seeing Joshua, same truth, he'll use in your personal life, he's big enough to overcome it. But as a church, he is overcoming. Come along for the ride. Let's pray. Father, man, my mind is boggled when I see that you could stop the universe or planet and the moon, however, and then all the laws that go with that. Then, God, how do I doubt you? When you speak to me from your word, when you touch my heart, when all I can do is, Father, just look at how much you changed me when you saved me. God, we're ready. I'm ready. I'm ready for what you have ahead, Lord. And I just pray that you let everyone in this room, in particular, know how big God is. Oh, man. That God, we're going to trust in you, God, when you tell us to march all night and fight all day. Because it's your fight. And even if you got to drop hailstones from heaven and only hit the enemy, I'll take it. Be glorified, O God, on this journey you're taking us, O God. Amen.
This is Pastor Randy Reams of Kindred Bible Church in Nampa, Idaho. I want to thank you for joining us today for Truths from God's Unchanging Word. This broadcast is an outreach ministry of Kindred Bible Church. I'd like to invite you also to visit our website, kindredbible.org. There you can listen to today's broadcast as well as previous broadcasts. If you're being ministered to by the broadcast, I'd like to encourage you to let us know. You can email us at info@kindredbible.org, or you can write to us at Kindred Bible Church, P.O. Box 32, Nampa, Idaho, 83653. And I'd like you also to check us out on Facebook. Look at us over there and give us a like. So again, I want to thank you for listening to Truths from God's Unchanging Word.